WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking Crab Cake Tour back out on the road this week. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, Goodwill, and Window Nation. I am pleased with my windows. 866-90-NATION. You still buy two, you get two free. Want to make sure we're letting everybody know all about that. I don't know. You buy two losses at double digits and comebacks. I don't know what you get for it, but you get the Cincinnati Bengals coming to town on Sunday night. Chris Collinsworth will be here. That always excites me. Luke Jones is here. That certainly excites me. We have talked at length about John Harbaugh's analytics and the situational football that happened on Sunday afternoon, but certainly picking this thing up and saying, are they good enough? And I'm going to start with that with you and say, well, they're good enough to have three touchdown leads in the first half. Are they good enough to close football games? And that was a question against Miami. And now, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com in my columnist piece, which I hope everybody's checking out, is this a trend? It certainly feels that way after two games.
Well, it does. Two games against high-end competition, if we're going to give Miami that privilege. The Ravens are better than the Jets. Okay, great. Ravens are better than the Patriots. Okay, great. They're 1-3. The Jets are maybe a little better than some people anticipated, but I don't think anyone would view them as a good football team.
Put Baltimore back in the AFC East for a 500 team.
Yeah, sure. They'd be middle of the pack there. So, that's where I struggle right now because of what you just said. I mean, it almost goes back to the theme of last year where we're talking about this thing. Is it half empty? Is it half full? Are they the team that was 8-3 going into that loss at not Heinz Field anymore, but in Pittsburgh in early December last year, or closer to the team that lost six straight to close the 2021 season. The truth is somewhere in between, and that's where the Ravens are right now. I think nearly a quarter of the way in, because it is a 17-game schedule, so four games isn't quite the quarter mark, but it's close enough. I'm not sure where this team ranks. They're not bad. I don't think they're bad by any stretch of the imagination, but I have a hard time looking at this team as a serious contender when you blow a 21-point lead to the Miami Dolphins at home, when you blow a 17-point lead to the Buffalo Bills at home, and when I had some people, and I understand fans are frustrated, but some people responded to me mentioning that on Twitter as an indictment of the defense. It's an indictment of the entire team. It's an indictment of the coaching, the players. Situational football, making bad mistakes, blown coverages, guys not knowing what they're doing late in the game. I mean, there are problems there. And it's great to say that, you had a 20-3 lead over the Buffalo Bills in the second quarter. Great. It's a 60-minute ball game. It's great to say that you had a 35-14 lead over the Dolphins at the end of the third quarter in week two. Great. It's a 60-minute ball game. So until they figure out how to play a more complete 60 minutes and to finish off really good opponents, you kind of look at this team as not bad, not great. And that's kind of where they stand right now. So that's not the worst thing in the world. That's not the end of the world in week five, but it certainly puts you in a position of wondering what this team's identity is. Because again, I think I mentioned in our previous segment, we were so quick just to chalk up the six game losing streak to end 2021 to the injuries, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson wasn't out there, and we were even talking about how it felt like preseason football at the end of the season. But at the same time, go back and look at those games. They had a chance against Green Bay. They had a chance against the Rams in week 17. They had a chance against Pittsburgh in week 18, even without Lamar Jackson. But there were things that happened in those games, whether you're talking about going for two or needing to make one play on either side of the ball, and they didn't do it. And now when you're seeing, even with Lamar Jackson, some of those things popping up in these losses to Miami and the loss to Buffalo, that you start to wonder, where's this team's toughness to be able to finish off a game? Where's this team's
Where's the coach's belief that if you can't finish
goes
off,
hand in hand.
If you can't finish off a 3-point lead with 4 minutes left to go in the rain at home, you're not a playoff team. I mean, you're not. I mean, like, if you can't take 3 points there and say we pay the defense two here to play, and if we lose, we lose because the defense gave up a drive in the same way we would lose. lose if the defense gave up a drive. If we get 7 points here, the field to tie the game, right? I mean, they probably take a two and go for it down there if they drove the length of the field, right? Because that's the way these kids play today, right? Like if Sean McDermott went down there and it was, would they play for overtime or would they play, we'll get 2 yards and beat your ass and take your soul? So Harbaugh envisioned all of that already when he sent Lamar out there on fourth down to say, well, we're going to score, kick a field goal, we'll be up 7. They're still going to come back and score 7, but we're going to have 7. I mean, what is that? That's crazy. That's crazy talk. That's why I said it.
Why is it crazy?
To think that, to believe that your defense can't hold its water?
Well, so it's better to say that you don't believe in your offense to get a touchdown from the 2-yard line?
How about if your defense?
I mean, we can do this either way. I mean,
how about if your defense actually, you know,
analytically speaking, I don't really have a problem with what John Harbaugh did. I have a problem with, you know, what looked like a questionable play call given where they are, and
certainly a bad play. Jackson throwing the interception was taboo.
But what you're saying is you're basically saying that shame on John Harbaugh for not having faith in his defense, but kicking a field goal there means you don't have faith in your offense. So I mean, I'm just
faith going back in your offense. It's getting 3 yards on fourth down at the goal line. That's not faith. That's executing one play that even in his mind wouldn't win the game because he really thought they were going to go down and score. He played the game that way.
But the other thing I'm struggling to understand with saying kick the field goal, kick the field goal, kick the field goal. And again, I fully acknowledge that I'll entertain that. But what about the defense's performance on the last drive made you think that kicking the field goal was wise to do? I mean, that's my question. Didn't they do exactly what John Harbaugh feared?
Okay, then football team. Then you're going to lose. If you can't stop Josh Allen at home in the rain.
But this is why
you're going to struggle to stop him? Is in Buffalo on a cold night 12 weeks from now.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but what I'm saying is I feel like, and you're not alone. I feel like, you know, most people think they should have kicked a field goal there, but I keep coming back to what about the defense's performance on the last drive validates kicking a field goal there because the Bills took a couple knees at the goal line and then kicked a 21 yard field goal. I mean, I don't know. Like
they were playing old way defense at the end. It was so bad. They were letting the Bills score and the message didn't get to the second year of defensive end, like linebacker, whatever you want to call him.
That's a problem. That's why I'm saying the problems are across the board here. Like, and that's why, I mean, people that are just putting it on John Harbaugh, and look, I'll hear that you want to disagree, but again, what did the defense do on the last drive to make you think that it was a better idea to kick the field goal there? I don't know. To me, I keep coming back to they need to score a touchdown there because they got the field goal and they would have scored a touchdown the way that was going. I mean, they tried to let them score a touchdown.
If you have no belief that your defense at the end of the game can make it stop, but you keep talking about belief, but
what actually happened, Nestor? They didn't stop a nosebleed on the last drive.
Well, then they stink. Then they're going to lose.
We're talking in hypotheticals that you should believe in your defense, but at the same time, then if you kick a field goal, that means you don't believe in your offense, and the defense let them march down the field anyway. So, like, I still don't know what we're arguing about here, other than just if people just want to solely blame John Harbaugh. And look,
I want to blame Lamar Jackson for throwing the pick. I want to blame Brandon Stevens for the late hit. I want to blame.
That was a bad. By the way, I'm going to have to stop you on that. The Brandon Stevens call is lousy. Now, I don't think that lost them the game. That was a lousy call. Gene Steratore kind of said as much. That was a lousy call. Now, I'm not the guy that's going to sit here and blame a loss on officiating because that's loser talk. Anyone who thinks the Ravens lost because of the officiating, I sure as heck hope the Ravens players and coaches aren't thinking that, or they're in greater trouble than we think right now. But that aside, I just wanted to stop you. That was a lousy call. That was a bad call. Go ahead. Sorry.
If Lamar Jackson throws a pass, gets hit and taken to the ground, that's a good call. If you're a Raven, you got to flag that. Can't have Lamar getting hit after he gets rid of the ball. That's sort of the rules of the game. I don't want to play Ed Reed style and knock everybody's head off. Sure. Right. Like, I don't need this to be Chuck Bednarik and, you know, back, you know, all of that, Jack Tatum. But, you know, in modern football, you don't hit the quarterback and bring him to the ground, even if he's got a little dive in him and comes up screaming. They all come up screaming. Look, you better coach Lamar to do that, because I don't want Lamar getting hit like that. Lamar never gets hit like that because Lamar doesn't stand there. Lamar moves. Lamar never gets hit standing still in the pocket like that to after he gets rid of the ball. So for me, Lamar would have been running. But
Josh Allen ran plenty on Sunday too. Let's throw that out there.
And they couldn't catch him. And he's faster than you think, huh?
No question. Well,
and bigger than you think. More Roethlisberger-y, more like Cam Newton-y, more run you over kind of guy.
And let's face it. I mean, Mac Jones got out against them a few times the previous week. So that was something. I mean, one of my predictions, I predicted a Ravens loss or a Ravens win incorrectly. But one of my predictions was Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen would lead their teams in rushing. And well, that was right. So,
well, I mean, they brought Pierre Paul in, right? So let's talk about how he played 90% of the snaps. Like,
yeah.
I like, and he's a veteran and like all of that. But impact, where's the impact on this defense right now? Who's an impact player at this point? Maybe Marlon Humphrey making tackles. I don't know.
I mean, that's what's frustrating. And look, you know, we can argue all day about going for it or not, kicking a field goal or going for the touchdown. The defense still, they let them move right down the field. And for as well as the defense played early on, and they are forcing turnovers, and that was good to see. And by the way, I mean, you look at the Ravens scoring 20 points. Keep in mind, they were put on two short fields. So let's not act like the offense, you know, was phenomenal in the first half. They were good in the first half. But that first half, they had some starting field position that was quite advantageous, you know, getting the ball at the 36 and what the Buffalo 4 right off the bat. So, but yeah, you look at this defense right now, and I like the defensive line overall in terms of stopping the run. I do think Justin Madubuike, you know, to answer your question, he's a guy giving them impact. You know, I think we've seen way more good than bad from him, you know, where it'd been much more of a mixed bag as first, you know, last year at least. You know, you just mentioned Jason Pierre-Paul signed off the street. Guy hadn't been with the team since the end of last season. I mean, spring and summer, he was rehabbing a shoulder surgery. And he comes in and he plays 55 snaps out of 64. I mean, credit to him, but boy, that tells you where they are with their outside linebackers right now. And Justin Houston didn't play on Sunday, and clearly that didn't help. But no depth there. Their inside linebackers, I mean, Patrick Queen's just not getting the job done the way a first-round pick needs to. We're into year three, and we're still talking about this. So that's a problem. And I love Josh Bynes, but is Josh Bynes really a guy that you have a great deal of confidence in as a starting player at this point in time that's going to make a lot of high-impact plays?
Man, our dude Brandon Copeland's like talking about getting sacks at online at this point, right? Like, wasn't on the team 3 weeks ago. So like,
and he played seven snaps on Sunday. So, I mean, I just – the second level of this defense, this linebacker group's a problem. I don't think there's any – you know, Adafe Owe, final drive aside, did put in his best game of the season to this point, but – he's been way too quiet. I mean, they were part of the problem now as we're talking about Lamar Jackson. Whenever he does get paid, whether it's this offseason, next year, franchise tag, you know, however that plays out, these first round picks over the last few years are the guys that you're counting on to be young, affordable studs for the next great Ravens teams, you hope, of not just 2022, but 23, 24, 25.
I've never heard you say that. Right? Young, affordable studs. That's the game. That's what the Orioles are right now, right? That's Mountcastle and Adley Rutschman and these guys hitting home runs and making no money. Like that Lamar Jackson playing like Tom Brady and making no money. That's how you win. That was Joe Flacco first contract, right? Where you still had Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs and Matt Burke and Anquan Boldin. You had all these players and you had Joe making nothing for a little while.
And then on the flip side of that, after the Super Bowl, when Joe's making a lot of money, that's when it hurts so badly to whiff on Matt Elam and to whiff on Rashad Perriman and to whiff on Arthur Brown and go down the list. And you know, we don't need to rehash the whole history. People know it. But when you're looking at this thing right now, you traded away Marquise Brown. And look, Marquise Brown was a fine pick. He wasn't a home run, but he wasn't a bust by any stretch of the imagination. That was a single or a double, right? Rather than a home run. But Patrick Queen at this point, it's not looking good. You know, I mean, this is year three at this point. We're still talking about an inside linebacker, which, by the way, if you're going to draft an inside linebacker in the first round, you have to think about positional value, someone that needs to be a plus player in coverage. He's not. And we're still seeing him take poor angles and missed tackles. And look at the last 2 weeks. One thing that you could say about Patrick Queen at the start of his career is he's made splash plays and it just hasn't been the consistency. But boy, drops an interception at the goal line last week in Foxborough and drops another interception on a tip pass on Sunday. So he's not making the splash play, taking advantage of those opportunities even. So you have him, you have Owe, who, boy, I was excited about how he looked the first 5-6 games last season as a rookie. Since then, it's left me wanting. You know, Rashad Bateman, we've seen him do some really good things, but then you have what happened on Sunday where, you know, I'm not saying they were perfectly thrown passes from Lamar Jackson, but wide receiver one needs to make those plays, even in the rain. We saw Stephon Diggs do it. So, and I'm not saying he has to be Stephon Diggs, but you traded Marquise Brown saying that Rashad Bateman's going to be your number one wide receiver. Need to see more consistency there. So, you know, you talk about those guys, you know, this year it's too early, but at the same time, Kyle Hamilton drafted at a position that wasn't a great need for the Ravens and forced the fumble last week in Foxborough. It's still very early again, but you know, they need more impact from him. You know, Tyler Linderbaum had played, you know, really well week two, week three. Week four was not so great for him. Again, that's going to happen. I'm not, especially the rookies, I'm not trying to be too hard on them, but when you're talking about these first round picks over the last 2 to 3 years, they need more from that group. I mean, there's no question. And they're not alone. Let's be clear about that. They're guys that are making a lot of money that aren't making plays.
And when you're counting on Calais Campbell and Pierre Paul, you know, these veteran Kevin Zeitler, you know, Morgan Moses, you know, these are the guys they're marching out, the character guys after a loss, to say things, maybe the right things or try to say the right things in the aftermath of this. But it's Marcus Peters' locker room, right? To some degree, it's Lamar's locker room to some degree, you know, for the leadership of the team. And this is where that leadership council that John likes to talk about, this is going to be an interesting week for them to march into his office and talk about fourth and goal from the three and where you are with the defense and, you know, with decisions we're making and calls that are being made and why Lamar's slow to get to the line of scrimmage. And like, there's a lot of tape here this week. There's a lot to work on for them for being a team that had some good fortune beginning. Look, that the ball popping on the first set of downs and the quick 7 points, that really sprung them in a direction to give them some confidence. They didn't play great. I mean, even with the lead, right? I mean, it was okay, but the Bills are a better football team. I'll say that. And John Harbaugh believed that when he believed his defense couldn't get off the field at home. How do you think that's going to go in Buffalo in January? Like, from a confidence level, John sort of deballed the defense to some degree. And I know you'd say, well, you don't have any confidence in Lamar getting 3 yards. I'd like to have confidence that my defense could play with a lead at home and win and close a football game. And if they don't, shame on us, we go home, but not the pick in the end zone. It's just the way all of it came apart. This is where John, 15 years into this, Sean Payton kept his job for years, right? Mike Tomlin still has his job and they stink, right? They stink. Belichick's up and this is where John's going to have to navigate this, because this isn't the Steelers with Pickett. This isn't New England after 6 championships. Did they win 6 or 7? I lose track. However many it was. And playing with Mac Jones, right? This team's supposed to win now. Like, this was built to win now. This is the here and the now. Lamar on cheap rent, all of that. This thing's getting away from John right now. And I didn't like John's podium after the game. So, I'm wondering, John getting chased around by one of his own football players? When's the last time that happened on the field? John doesn't like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. And again, we haven't heard specifics. I mean, we know that was coming off of the field in wake of they were apparently trying to let Singletary score a touchdown until OA tackles him. But OA said in the postgame locker room that, you know, the instructions were to either let him score, or if you have a chance to punch the ball out, you go for it. Calais Campbell confirmed that, talking to him in the locker room after the game. But that right there, I look at that and I say, there's a lot of wiggle room between those two choices, right? I mean, okay, I'm guessing the instruction of trying to poke the ball out is you're holding the guy up as you're doing that. And Calais Campbell even said the play before, he kind of says, I should have, you know, I had a chance. I probably could have carried the ball carrier into the end zone and I should have done that. And, you know, I think some of that's probably him giving a little cover for a young player, which I respect. But, you know, the way Owe went about it, I mean, okay, he may have took a swipe at the ball, but doesn't mean you're, you know, bringing him to the ground in the way that he did either. So that right there makes me question the coaching. You know, was the preparation, was the instruction proper there? You know, that's a, again, a lot of subjectivity between those two choices there in terms of letting him score a touchdown as opposed to going for a strip. So I don't know, man. Again, I don't want to belabor the Harbaugh decision that much, but either way, you're showing a lack, you know, you're showing a lack of faith in one side of the ball or the other. And again, they could have kicked a field goal, and I'll entertain the psychological part of this, of John Harbaugh challenging his defense and saying, you know what, we're not going to let this happen to us again. We're going to kick the field goal because Justin Tucker is the best in the world, and that's great, but we need to go get a stop. And does the defense rise up under that scenario as opposed to Wilt in the way that they did after they don't, you know, after Lamar throws the pick, which, by the way, the pick is a colossal part of this, because that's part of the analytics behind this are, if you don't get it, Buffalo's at the 2 yard line and wet conditions, you know, there could be a safety,
you win the game, right? Literally. Right.
Yeah. So that is a massive part of this. And look, Lamar can play like an MVP through the first, you know, until that point. And he had been the MVP of the league up until that point. And I'm not saying that he's not anymore, but the point is your star quarterback cannot make that play in that situation, because that absolutely kills you. As I said, that was akin to punting the ball through the end zone from the 2 yard line. I mean, that's the same effect that interception had there. So, and look, Jordan Poyer made a great play. You know, I think we do need to remind ourselves the Buffalo Bills are good. The Miami Dolphins look like they're pretty good. The other team does try too, but at the same time, you're talking about having 3-score leads at home. It's not supposed to happen in Baltimore. So, yeah, to go back to your point about this being a big week for John Harbaugh, and you know, to make sure you have guys that are on the same page, and what happened with Marcus Peters, who he runs hot. You know, we've seen that. You know, you mentioned what happened in LA a few years back, and he's had other instances in his career. And I'm not at all suggesting that means they should jettison him or anything like that. But my question is, was that an isolated thing, or is that a clear example of frustration that other guys are feeling? And maybe there is a cumulative impact when you're talking about going for two in the way that they did at the end of last year. And I get it. Marcus Peters wasn't out there. And at the end of the year, Marlon Humphrey wasn't out there, but there were guys out there who, you know, are playing and are a part of this defense currently, that you do wonder if you see this happen over and over again. And let's face it, you know, whether you want to blame Greg Roman's play call or the execution or both, they haven't had a very high success rate in these situations. So is there a cumulative impact? Is there a psychological impact? And I'm not saying there should be, but is there one? I don't know. So that, again, if you want to try to argue with me of why you kicked the field goal there, I'll hear that. I'll hear that. I think it's impossible to know, but I do wonder, and let's face it, this team's overall psyche right now needs to be questioned when you're blowing 3-score leads at home 2 of the last 3 weeks and losing ball games.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke out on the interweb. You can find me, him, out at BaltimorePositive.com. I'm writing columnists. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour later in the week. We'll have more information on all of that. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue on discussing all things Ravens and loss and Bengals and the week and John Harbaugh and Marcus Peters and Lamar Jackson and injuries and age. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. Stay with us. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.